charged with a great mission: to rid our country of the enemies of Bolshevism.
His stomach knotted. There had still been no telegram from Moscow confirming it, yet all the same, it was clear what was required of him. This was his moment. His place in the history books beckoned. He continued in a businesslike tone.
I want 11 men, one for each of the party, so the deaths are simultaneous. You will be allocated a target, and I will give the order to fire. Shoot to kill, so they do not have the unnecessary suffering of seeing each other die.
As he spoke, he looked from face to face, watching for signs of hesitation, or fear, or nerves. He needed steady men, who would obey without question. This bunch were militants from the Werk Isserks metallurgy plant, probably less intelligent than average. That was good. He didn't want any questions about the whys and wherefores, just mute obedience. Most had not met the family yet, so there had been no chance to form attachments. They were young, though, the youngest only 17. Would they stay calm when the firing started?
Ermakov was eager.
Otsaika Mazza,
he said, reaching for one of the most powerful guns on the table. Adolf Lipa, commander of this new set of guards, surprised Yurovsky.
I don't think I could shoot the girls,
he mumbled, looking at his feet. Yurovsky glared. Lipa had been at the meeting at the Hotel America when the decision had been made that very afternoon. He knew they couldn't risk the Romanovs falling into the hands of counter-revolutionaries, who might even try to reinstate them on the throne, with the backing of foreign governments.
Me neither,
said Verhas, a Hungarian man. Yurovsky opened his mouth to chastise them, to reiterate the case for the execution, but realized there was no point. He had thought Lipa reliable at least, but you never knew how people would react when they were put on the spot.
Go back to the Popov house, both of you,
he ordered.
And don't breathe a word of this. The rest of the guard will not be told till the last minute.
He waited until they had shuffled out before addressing the others.
If there is a gun you prefer, choose now.
They stepped forward, eyeing the remaining Mauser, the Colts, the Nagants, the Smith & Wesson, the Browning, picking them up to test the grip, the weight. One man's hand was shaking so violently he almost knocked a Nagant to the floor. Another smelled strongly of homemade vodka, his breath foul with it, and Yurovsky winced.
You two.
He motioned at them, then pointed to the door.
You are relieved.
That left 10, including him. One man would have to shoot 2 people. He glanced at Ermakov, nursing the Mauser, his eyes sparkling with revolutionary fervor.
I'll take 2,
the wild man volunteered, preempting him. Ermakov had murdered before. He'd spent 6 years in a prison camp for decapitating the night watchman at a factory he was raiding, but had been released after the revolution. Now he was a Cheka officer of great renown in the region. Yurovsky knew he would get the job done.
That's it then,
he said, looking round the men one last time.
Nothing must go wrong. Our leaders have put great trust in us, and I am putting my trust in you. Take your weapons and await orders.
One of them tripped over a rug as he left the room, and his pistol fell to the floor with a clunk. Yurovsky sighed. It was going to be a long night. Chapter 1.
Yekaterinburg,
April 1918. Citizen Romanov, Citizen Romanova, I am Commissar Avdeyev. The man spoke in Russian and wore a Red Army uniform. He did not even remove his cap with its red.